If you have a burden over your sin, and you see by faith that Christ offered on that cross a sufficient penalty for sin that needs no addition, can you be saved now? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. No one can come too soon. That's the gospel. That's the offer of living water. That's the willingness of the Lord Jesus to save your soul.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, minister of our church here in Cloverdale, British Columbia. And we're bringing you the message of the gospel today from the pulpit ministry of our church as we let the Bible speak on the woman at the well, John chapter 4. And this is the woman who needed to be lifted up from the depths of sin to know the grace and the help of the Lord in her own soul and in her own life. We also have the Whitfield Choir to sing for us, Be Thou Exalted. Firstly, we have our question and answer today, and we're back to how does a Sunday school teacher set about building up a child's faith in Christ? This month we're encouraging men and women to consider the need for Sunday school, a Bible Sunday school, where boys and girls will learn the precious truths of the Bible, the gospel, and that may the Lord may save them, redeem them, and use them for His glory. The threefold aim of the Sunday school teacher is to bring the child to Christ, bring him up in the faith, and then send him forth to serve the Lord. The first we have already covered, that is to bring a child to Christ. To build up a child in the faith is to firstly set the goal that all is for the glory of God. The aim of teaching the child is that he will live for the glory of God and honor him in all his ways. For that end, the child needs to be equipped in God's word. The Apostle Paul said that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. There is enough in that verse to keep the Sunday school teacher as a busy bee and to make busy bees out of their Sunday school children. Doctrine is mentioned first by the apostle. Doctrine is like roots to a tree. It makes the tree stable, healthy, and fruit-bearing. So children need to be grounded in biblical truth to grow roots to enjoy spiritual life. Too often, children are entertained, but don't get a grounding in the basic truths of Christianity, as in why the Bible is without a shadow of doubt the God-given word, or how do we know that Jesus Christ is eternal, that is, without beginning and without end. Such truths need to be well researched and well stated, ensuring that children grasp these things and remember them. To teach doctrine and make it memorable to children, a teacher needs to be convinced in his own mind, enthusiastic and creative with the use of words, pictures, parables, and every technique that is God-honoring. Then comes the term reproof. This is to convince. It might be in the form of a clip from the newspaper which gave the world's view that there is life or no life after death. This is to be weighed up with the clear statement of the Bible that the Lord Jesus spoke out his famous words about death when he told the rich man and Lazarus, and how the two men died, and one opened his eyes in Abram's bosom, while the other opened his eyes in torments. The teacher needs to emphasize how the Lord taught of a great gulf between the two men, so that there was no crossing over one to the other. The Bible is filled with convincing historical accounts which prove that there is life after death, and that the Lord Jesus came to give life to the perishing souls of men. Then there is correction mentioned in 2 Corinthians 3:16. Foolish notions which so quickly fill the heads of boys and girls, as well as men and women, need to be debunked. Children are full of questions. There is more going on in their little heads than we give credit for. Those minds which drink in ideas like sponges need to be informed of truth and guided away from error. They need to know that Satan is a liar. They need to know that the world is filled with traps set by the deceiver. They need to know that wicked men have crafty ways of deceiving the wandering soul. The Bible speaks of Satan as a roaring lion. The teacher can talk about a trip to the zoo and describe the lion striding back and forth in his pen with his greedy, hungry eye on his prey, which could be a bird, a cat, a dog, or even a child. Ask the boys and girls if they would dare step into the pen with a roaring lion. Then ask if they would do so if the lion was sleeping. That may tempt some, but the danger is just as real. The sleeping beast may awaken to devour. Then the story of Daniel in the lion's den would be a powerful illustration of God's deliverance from the devil. For in Daniel's case, God shut the mouth of the lion. Lastly, instruction in righteousness is listed in 2 Timothy 3:16. The aim of the Sunday school teacher is to lead the child to a holy walk called righteousness. The Bible is not just a word to our heads, but to our hearts as well. And it is to affect our feet, for we're to walk differently. The devil is filled with knowledge about the existence, power, and purity of God, but he is not changed. The gospel must change heads and hearts to change lives. By the light of God's word, a child will learn what is pleasing to God and what he forbids. A child will learn the lines of truth that will guide his feet. We must teach our children that word in the Psalms, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Children should not be left in ignorance of what is right and wrong. To keep them in the dark and then preach to them about their sins will be confusing. We must shine the light of God's word and law and then call them to walk in that light through the power and grace of the Savior. So I think you will see that the Sunday school teacher has a very big task. He or she will need the power of God's Spirit to lead children to the truth and build them up in the faith. We exhort you to bring your child or children to a Bible-based Sunday school. That is so important. If you are in our area, our Sunday school is at 9:30 Sunday mornings, and we have classes for all ages, including adults. Come as a family and leave as a family. We pray you will be blessed and become a student at church and a teacher at home. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Through this month, we will look at various aspects in the art of teaching children. Thank you for being a part of our program here today. We now turn to the remainder of our message here, and we're coming also on to our message and song, "Be Thou Exalted," by the Whitfield Choir.
Exalted, I serve as a danger.
listening to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for joining with us on our program today. May the Lord bless you richly. We want to be of some personal help, and we offer our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazines and other literature free of charge. If you need a Bible, a word of advice, or have a prayer request, we look forward to hearing from you. We invite you to join us for each program and to join in our weekly services by webcast. You can go to our website for all the information, www.letthebiblespeak.ca. Stay tuned with us through the broadcast and we'll give you further information on the local church who sponsors these broadcasts. Our burden truly is to let the Bible speak. Our prayer is that God will speak to you through His Word. Through the reading and preaching the Word of God, we simply let the Bible speak to your heart. You will find that we also let the Bible speak in our live church webcasts on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Pacific Time. If you cannot reach us through our website, letthebiblespeak.ca, then please call us toll-free, 1-800-969-1091. That's 1-800-969-1091. May the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus fill your heart today as we let the Bible speak and as you stay tuned with us for the message of God's Word today.
Without limitation or restriction. Now let me say, go into a little side issue here. Let me say that there are some circles today, we'll call them hyper-Calvinist, that deny this element of the gospel. They get so hung up on the whole doctrine of election that they say that it's not the preacher's task to call men to believe in the Lord Jesus. In the history of the Presbyterian Church in Scotland, there was a school of thinking that was they limited the gospel. They made it so narrow. And then they developed what became known as the Octer Ardor Creed. I'll spell that for you some other time. The Octer Ardor Creed, it was called. And the substance of that creed really was that no preacher can call sinners to Jesus too soon. Those became the key words. You can never invite a sinner to Jesus too soon. Is it possible that someone in Cloverdale or further afield comes in through the doors of the church, sits and takes in one service and is converted? If you say impossible, then that puts some restriction. That means you're guarding something. Can the Holy Spirit do again what the Lord Jesus did with this woman at the well? One interview, full conversion. Yes, He can. And the Lord, you'll notice, offered this woman living water right off. Right off. Now we'll see later that He came to talk to her about her sin. He came to talk to her about her lifestyle. But He offered her the living water right off. And this is the balance that we need in the preaching of the gospel. This is what we call the free offer of the gospel. Without restriction. I'm not going to tell you that you have to be under the burden of sin 6 weeks or 6 months before you can come and enjoy the assurance of salvation and drink of this living water. I'm not going to tell you, don't get saved today, come back next week. If you have a burden over your sin, and you see by faith that Christ offered on that cross a sufficient penalty for sin that needs no addition, can you be saved now? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. No one can come too soon. That's the gospel. That's the offer of living water. That's the willingness of the Lord Jesus to save your soul. Number three then, something else you need to know. We have to know that when you ask for salvation, the Lord will look into your heart to expose your sin. Ah, this dear woman, verse 16, Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither. How adeptly, how wisely, our Lord opened up this whole subject of her life, her lifestyle. And thankfully, And I'm sure it was grace that she was open to her Lord and she said, Lord, I don't have a husband. I've had five husbands. And the man I'm now living with is not my husband. And when she came face to face with the Lord Jesus, he read her heart. He read her heart. To the point where the Lord said, or the woman said in verse 19, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now I said the woman confessed. The Lord searched her heart, and he told her all about herself, and her sin was exposed. You see, the gospel is not a means of covering up sin. It's not a means of just covering it over, sweeping things under the carpet. It has to be acknowledged, and it has to be put right. And as the Lord Jesus interviews you, he looks right into your heart, and he knows the state of your heart, and he knows the deadness, he knows the guilt, he knows the very way in which you've broken the law of God, and it has to be acknowledged and put right. But you don't do that alone, of course. You don't do that alone. It's a mistake to think that you must clean up your own life and then come back to Jesus. There is another pitfall for seeking sinners. If only I got time to put things right in my life, then I could come back and consider trusting in the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you, if you wait until you're better, you'll never come at all. You'll never be better qualified to trust Jesus than you are right now as a sinner. What is it is your qualification for salvation? That you're righteous, moral, pay your bills, kind, generous? Are those things the qualifications for salvation? No. What makes you qualified to be a believer in the Lord Jesus? That you acknowledge you're a sinner. And you come in an open, honest fashion saying, Lord, I've got a mess in my life I can never clean up. And there's only one power that will cleanse me, and that's the blood shed at the cross. And here is the thing that you must know. You see, the Lord did not drive her away. What he asked and what he exposed about her sin was not to drive her away. It gave her an opportunity to confess. How gracious and gentle the Lord works with the worst of sinners. It says that the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as are of a contrite spirit. Do you tell me today your heart's broken? You have come to this place of contrition, which means of sorrow over sin. Let me tell you, if the Lord Jesus did not drive away this woman, I, as the preacher, dare not drive away the seeking, searching soul today. I must extend to you the same love, the same grace, the same open, honest, full mercy that the Lord gives to his people. And the church cannot close its doors to the seeking sinner because he hasn't yet cleaned up his life. But rather, we welcome and we invite you to come. Are you ready to confess? Perhaps you're just too embarrassed. I read of a woman with a bundle of dirty washing who took it to the public wash baths, and when she arrived there, there were so many people around that she was ashamed to open up her bundle of laundry and start washing because it was so filthy. And so to save herself the embarrassment, she just took the whole bundle of laundry, dunked it into the water a few times, and off she went, all to save herself the embarrassment of letting others see her filthy rags. A lot of people are like that foolish woman. They say, I would be a Christian, but I don't want to expose my sin. I don't want to confess that I'm a sinner. But I do want to tell you today that to come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus, it's not the confessional box where you tell all your sins to me. I'm not a priest. I'm a pastor. I tell you where to go with your sin. I tell you that you must be open and confess it, not to men, but to the Lord Jesus. And I guarantee you His reception, His mercy, and His grace to your soul. Now there's one more thing that we need to know. And as we look down this chapter, I come now to verse 25 on down, we need to know that the Lord Jesus is the Messiah. We need to be very clear on this. In verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh. Now obviously she had the word of God, she had this knowledge that the Messiah would come, which is called Christ. That's the New Testament term for Messiah. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Wow. What a revelation. What a claim. She had to be told that he was the Messiah. She had to be told. She could not figure it out. She could not add two and two together. This man is a prophet. Here he is searching my heart, telling me all things ever I did. She just did not add it up and click. He had to tell her. And let me tell you, we're all like that. You can set information before people, but it won't save them until the Lord reveals himself, opens their eyes and understanding to the great truth. You see, it takes a miracle of grace to reveal the Lord Jesus, opening hearts to who he really is, that he's the Messiah. Now, as we read there, Messiah means the Christ, the sent one. He's the only Savior of the world. And you need to know that. You need to know it. You need to confess it. You need to rejoice in it. Now, the Lord stood before her, of course, in real life, human nature, as the Messiah. What was it that convinced her? What convinced her? Well, it wasn't appearance, because our Lord Jesus, outwardly, externally, was like any other man. There was no transfiguration, glistening of his body before her. It was the word the Lord spoke. It was the word the Lord spoke. I that speak unto thee am he. What is it that convinces men that the Lord Jesus is the Christ? His word. That's how he operates. That's how we're saved. That's how we're convinced. In verse 41, you'll notice that it says, and many more believed because of his own word. You see, they didn't just take it from this woman. They had to go through an interview with the Lord Jesus and hear his word. And let me tell you, you don't become a Christian because Ian Gallagher said it. That's not how you become a Christian. You do not rest the eternal welfare of your soul upon some preacher. You've got to hear the Lord speak to your own heart. And you've got to take him at his word. And that's why when I lead a soul to Christ, when I tell someone how to be saved, I always get the Bible. I always come to the verses of the Bible that are appropriate and show them from the Word of God, the promise of salvation, and you base your faith, your hope, your confidence, your eternal future, your eternal life, the living water that you receive, it comes from the Word of God, not the Word of man. Because one day I'll return to dust and ashes, your hope will be in this Word. And you need to know that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, based on this word. And so this knowing is by faith in the word. It's not some mystical foreign concept. You can come to the Bible today and say, I believe what this book says about the Lord Jesus. And I'm taking this as my hope for eternal life. That's how you're saved. And that's how you know. That's how you know. We've learned here that ignorance is never the handmaid of the gospel. Our job is to clear away those things that blind and bring you to the place where you can know. And that's why I say, come to the Lord, open the book, and say, Lord, I believe your word. And upon that you're saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's faith in the word. Believe. What about it? There's some here today and you're so busy with your water pot going to the wells of life and you're trying to find opportunity and make a name for yourself. You're trying to do all the material things of this world. Let me tell you, that's water that will never quench the thirst of your soul. You need the Lord Jesus. He gives the water of which if any man drink, he shall never thirst. Will you come? Can I be of any help to you after this service? Will you get serious about your own salvation? What a wonderful life opens up, as it did for this woman, when she ran off saying, "Come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" What a testimony. What a new woman. Do you have that testimony? Do you need to be changed? It can happen today. Praise God, it can happen today. And if you come to me and say, I need to be saved, I'm not going to drive you away and say, look, you've got to hold off. I'm going to encourage you. And if you can say that you can believe this book, you can be saved before you leave this building today. And again, I'm happy to help.
Our final text as we let the Bible speak is from Luke chapter 10 and verse 41, where the Lord Jesus answered to Martha, "Thou art careful about and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." So here we have a very, very succinct message to be careful about the affairs of this world, all the domestic pressures and all the business pressures of life, that it does not take us away from sitting at Jesus' feet to hear his word. The Lord wants you to take time with him and his word. Make sure you do that. And may the Lord draw near to you, speak to you, and give you his blessing. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible Class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and his great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service, as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.